This is Andrew Corbett and welcome to the Small Group Bible Study Series, How Then Shall We Now Live? We're in study number 13. This is based on Romans chapter 16, verses 1 to 16, Be Honourable. Again, I encourage you to offer as a home group host, as a host of your Bible study group, some refreshments, and as the people are coming in and enjoying the refreshments, it helps them to build the very community that we're talking about in our group. And so from there, you then move to a different change of scenery, if you've got it. As someone has pointed out to me, sometimes, you know, you're meeting in a small apartment or something like that, you've only got the dining table, and it's a handful of you, three, four, five of you meeting together. And maybe that's it. Maybe it's, okay, we're just going to start the study and we'll start with someone on your left and just two questions. What are you thankful for? One thing you're thankful for, one thing you would like prayer for. As group leader, note both of those things next to the person's name. As I've mentioned before on the website, we've got a template sheet. You can just print it off and that will give you the opportunity to fill in to the space the person's name, the thing they were thankful for, and the thing they would like prayer for. Go around the room, and then we kick off the study. This is based on Romans chapter 16, verses 1 to 16. It's a list of names, so we're going to explore some of these names, and it's called Be Honourable. And invite someone to read the opening paragraph, which says this: big-hearted people aren't afraid of others getting the limelight or of applauding the efforts of those who might otherwise be considered competitors. The Apostle Paul's list of notable Christian leaders in Rome is very revealing and should give us pause to evaluate our own preparedness to honour those who serve alongside us. This is especially so when you consider that the great Apostle Paul pays tribute to the Christian leaders now in Rome, eight of whom are women. My goodness me. Well, let's have a look at this. Question one. Again, invite someone to read this question out and maybe the same person to read the reference, which in this instance is Romans chapter 16, verses 1 to 2. And the question says this: why does Paul commend to the Romans first, or sorry, who does Paul commend to the Romans first? And what does he say about this minister? What had been Paul's relationship to this minister? So we're reading Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, and it says this: I commend to you our sister, Phoebe, a servant of the church at Centuria, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. This is a remarkable statement, really is. Paul is commending a woman, and Paul is often seen as the chauvinist. He's often seen as the one who's almost anti-women, and here he is. The first person he mentions is a woman, and it doesn't stop there. Now, invite someone to, and look, this might provoke some discussion. Why would Paul insist on them honoring a woman? I mean, after all, aren't women supposed to keep quiet in church? Aren't women supposed to be seen and not heard and things like this? Anyway, invite someone to read the next paragraph, which says this: it appears that the first minister Paul commends was a seasoned apostolic minister who had a proven track record of ministry in Centuria, which is in Greece. See Acts chapter 18, verse 18. Invite someone to read that out. It says this: after this, Paul stayed many days longer and then took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. At Centuria, he had his hair cut, for he was under a vow. So at Centuria, chances are he had had already become acquainted with Phoebe or became reacquainted with her there. Some English Bibles describe this minister as a deaconess in their translator notes on Paul's description of her as a servant. But the Greek word used by Paul here is diakonos. Now, if you know anything about Greek, that nos tells you that the word minister is, well, in this instance, it's a masculine word and it's not feminized for Phoebe, which is exactly the same word he uses to describe Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, which says, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ. Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you'll follow. A good servant. The word servant is that word diakonos, one who serves. Invite someone to read the next paragraph. It says this: the next person and her husband that Paul greets were Roman Jewish converts to Christ, whom he had met when Caesar Claudius had banished Jews from Rome. That's recorded in Acts chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. It says this: after Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius, that is Emperor Claudius or Caesar Claudius, had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, and he went to see them. Question 2, invite someone to read this out. Who were these people and why did Paul feel so fond of them? Romans chapter 16, verses 3 to 5. It says, greet Prisca and Aquila. Note the order, the wife before the husband. My fellow workers in Christ Jesus, verse 4, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. So why was Paul so fond of Priscilla and Aquila? Because they actually risked their lives for him. And that tends to evoke a deep gratitude in anyone when someone else will do that. Invite someone to read the top paragraph on page 28 of the study. It says this: the expansion of Christianity is marked by the taking of cities, the usual centers of influence in a culture, still to this day. What is particularly striking about Paul's list of greetings is just how many of these believers he had already established a relationship with, and how, after their conversions to Christ during Paul's previous travels, had been prepared to go to Rome as an ambassador of Christ to reach the people of the great metropolis. Epaphroditus, mentioned in Romans chapter 16 and the last part of verse 5, says this: greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia, is a further example of this. So these people became disciples of Christ along Paul's journey, and they felt a call to go to the great city of Rome, a city in that day of over just over 1 million people. Question 3, invite someone to read this question out. Do you know of any believer or believers who have moved from their comfortable neighborhood into a troubled neighborhood or community or city in order to be an ambassador for Christ? Share, have a think about that. Do you know anybody who's been prepared to do that? Maybe you have. Question 4. Who are the other husband and wife ministry team which Paul greets in Romans chapter 16 and verse 7, which says this: greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. How does Paul commend them and their ministry? Well, they were in Christ before him. For a start, they are well known, he says, to the apostles. So Junia is a woman, and she's well known to the apostles. And interestingly, the translation more literally reads, she is well known as an apostle, or well known among the apostles. Interesting, a woman described as an apostle. Question 5. Some people have a very harsh view of the apostle Paul. What do his greetings to these various people actually reveal about him? Well, the people who have the opinion that Paul was anti-women, a misogynist, someone who doesn't really like women, would have to concede that this is exceptionally gracious on his part, if that's the case. But you also have to, I think, get a bigger, broader picture of Paul, that he's not the misogynist that you perhaps think he is or was. Question 6. Paul's charge for the believers to greet one another with a holy kiss, Romans 16, verse 16, which says this: greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. May sound odd to our Western ears, but probably not if you live in the Middle East. What might the point of this affectionate greeting have been, and what principle might we draw from it today? Well, it shows that in the early Christian church, they actually regarded themselves as family, and they greeted each other as such. There was nothing sexual or untoward about it. It was a filial or a family greeting. And what's the application today? Well, a warm handshake at the least, perhaps an appropriate hug. And however, in your culture, you greet family. And this is the type of greeting that the early church were doing. Well, this is where, as a group leader, this may have provoked some discussion, particularly among those who have a very strong opinion of whether women should have any ministry role, particularly on a Sunday in a church. They may not have a problem with them ministering through the week, but here Paul is being very clear. Women are used in preaching and teaching and the like, and this may rock a few boats. So anyway, interesting discussion. Pull out the sheet where you wrote down people's thank points and people's prayer points. Remind people of the prayer points. Start on your left and maybe go around the room. Finish on your right and have people pray. And then if anything is missed, you as group leader can pray those things and end the night in prayer. God bless you. We're back with our next study, which is based on Romans 16, verses 17 to 23, which is Be United.